Okay, let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. Scriptures, Devin, read 1 Samuel 17. You're going to read starting at verse 57 and then keep on reading through verse 4 of chapter 18. And then another one, Justin, 1 Samuel 23, 16 through 18. These are two main verses. Let's get some others. Alan. Bonias, 1 Kings 12, 13. And that'll be enough for now. Okay, so the scriptures we're going to read here have to do with David and Jonathan. And they're interesting to look at because Jonathan is in line to be king, or so the people thought, by all his history and precedent, he should have been the next king. And David, on the other hand, through the killing of Goliath now, is a rising star. And so you have this issue of promotion. Someone who is being elevated and someone who already has a position, and how they process that. That's a very important issue for disciples, has to do with the issue of processing promotions. Let's read these two main verses, the first one in chapter 17. Go ahead.
Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." And now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt.
Okay, let's look at the need for promotion. One of the simple facts of ministry is that at times it involves promotion. And that has the idea of promotion is an elevation or being raised higher. So, as needs arise, as doors open, as men develop, as problems happen, there can be a lot of different reasons. Men are promoted in the ministry. Now, this is true right now inside the church, is that you have, from time to time, you may have new ministries that begin. You may have new leaders that are raised up in different ways. You have to make a change in different things. There's adjustments for various reasons. And so that happens inside the church, that there is somebody else who's doing something. And outside the church, and that means, of course, on the field among pastors, is that you have new cities that we want to reach, and that's so we're going to plant men. Then there are pastoral changes that take place for various reasons. And so the simple fact is that you have this, that men are promoted, or they're put into new positions. So, a lot of reasons for that. It can be gaining new ground. And this is our desire, is to fill the earth in line with God's command in Genesis that he speaks of. And so we are wanting to reach into new areas. That's just a simple fact. I had a missionary. One of the things that happens among missionaries, interesting, is that you get somebody who goes to a city, and they may be in a big city, so then another missionary is going to come in, And so then they start pulling on him because it wouldn't it be nice to have somebody to talk to and the kids to play with. And so then now every missionary that goes in, we just send a new missionary and it's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go right here. We announced him to go to another city, but so he wants to go and live three blocks from the other missionaries. And I said, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Is that we're trying to reach the whole world and you manage to find the world blocks away from where we already have people. And that's really about you and them. It's not about the world, is it? So I said, actually, you have an entire city that we announced. Why don't you go back? He went and looked around for a couple of hours and said, nope, I'd rather be over here. And I said, I hardly think that was a fair look. And so when he went back and gave himself, lo and behold, God led him and he's going to go there. So, new ground. Then you have the process of attrition. You have you lose men in various ways. In our fellowship in the past year, we had three pastors that died. And that obviously would be an extreme. And so somebody had to take their place. And then you have men that resign, or men that are disciplined or whatever. So some men are going to need to be promoted. And then of course, in our fellowship, we have men that move on into new arenas. They have a man that might be pastoring someplace, feels the call of God. He wants to now go and go overseas, for instance, or he wants to pioneer somewhere else. And so now that's going to create a need. So lots of different reasons. And then you have men that are developing. And a promotion is an excellent way to make a man develop. This is one of the factors that guys have to face, is that they get to a level that is comfortable and safe. And in your life, you would be amazed at how quickly you can get to a point where you say, I know how to do this. I'm good at this. This is safe. I never look foolish. I'm never in doubt about the outcome. So why don't I just keep on doing this and this alone? And so that is actually, that's not healthy for you. So sometimes by giving a man a promotion, if you want to put it that way, or giving him responsibility, now he's forced either to do what he was doing and, which makes life harder, or we give him a harder task. And that's good. You gotta be stretched. You gotta rise to do that. When Pastor Mitchell had a crisis in Australia and he had to go, so that meant that everything fell on me, of the church and the fellowship and all kinds of things. And so I didn't get much sleep, but that's healthy to make you struggle and be enlarged. So in my point is this, is that you will find all through the Bible that God is involved in this. God is the one who, remember, anointed David to be king. So for whatever the reason, it might be something as bad as a crisis, or it might be as something as good as a new ministry or a new area. God is involved in promotion, and you have to keep in mind the will of God. All right, let's talk secondly about the pitfalls of promotion. Let's get down to where we live. There are dangers in promotion. And the real issue is that not everyone handles promotion well. And we got to think about this. So it's often in times of change or in transition that many men, they make mistakes here, or they blow up in different ways. So let's talk about when you are promoted. So here's the pitfall of pride that can come. You're given a new area of ministry. And so one of the problems is that inflates your head. You equate what I'm going to do with what I'm worth. Listen to me, gentlemen. I want to tell you something from long experience. I have, in ministry-wise, I've had nothing I've had more than probably most people in life. And I can tell you, what you do has nothing to do with what you are. Okay? I have done important things, and I have been a jerk, utterly without character. I've had nothing but been right with God. And so the point is not, you shouldn't have anything in life. Never do anything, never go anywhere, never be promoted in any way. That's not the point. My point is, the mistake is that guys make is, I have been asked to do something, so I am worth more. 1 Kings 12:13.
Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him.
Okay, so here is a promotion. This is, in their terms, be the ultimate promotion. All of a sudden, you're asked to be king, and so he hasn't even done anything. Right? He got the promotion actually because his dad died. So he interprets that as like, I am hot stuff. I can tell anybody what to do because I am hot stuff. So he viewed that in what I am worth instead of what God wants me to do. So this is what happens. It's very interesting is that in any, and I've seen it on as small as running an outreach. The story that I've told about the guy who got the people in the van, and this is his chance, and so he laid down the rules. There's going to be no gum chewing, texting, potty stops. You know, that's pretty small. Just drive the van, right? But there's something interesting about promotion is it brings out who we are, for good or for bad. And I've seen this, is you get guys that they are given, you know, now they're going to run a Bible study or they're going to be in charge of a ministry and outreach. And now all of a sudden is pride causes them to view that as I get to order people around. You have to listen to what I say because I am El Capitan here, all right? So you make sure you understand my great wonderfulness. So in actual fact, for that guy, promotion does him damage. Now, that doesn't mean that he shouldn't be promoted, because a lot of times, you know, God has designed life to cause who we are to come out. You sit there and you think, man, this guy's a wonderful guy. Give him a little promotion. Whoa. It was always in there. The promotion didn't make him become like this. He was a good guy Tuesday, Wednesday, became a jerk. No, he always was a jerk. We just didn't see his jerkiness. It was the promotion that caused it to come out. And then there's another pitfall that goes along with that, and that is that guys assume my promotion somehow is a stamp of approval on my whole life. Right? They think what I am doesn't matter. I'm getting promoted, aren't I? I was put in charge, aren't I? And so they think then it doesn't matter to treat people badly or to be unreliable. Pride and self-validation do them damage. On the other hand, let's flip the coin. What about someone who is not promoted in a time of promotion? Right? So we read there, we're contrasting David, his star is rising. Jonathan is now, it looks like he's getting bypassed. So what happens to the person who is not getting the promotion in some way? So this also reveals the heart. Some men, they view this as rejection. They equate promotion, you know why Pastor put him in charge? Because he likes him. Right? Whether that's personally or because he approves of him. He must think he's a great guy, a wonderful guy. So, if that's how you view it, why wouldn't he promote you? Because Pastor must not like you. Or, he must think that I'm a terrible person. Because what other possible reason could there be for not being promoted? I don't know, like God? You know, something small like that? So then what happens is that if you view what you do, remember what I said, what you do and who you are as far as your worth, you know, they can be tied, but they're totally separate issues. You are worth something regardless of what you do. David was a man after God's own heart when he was looking at the backsides of sheep in the desert. That's who he was. We just didn't know about it yet. Right? So, but if you view promotion as I'm worth something, conversely, if I'm not being promoted, I must not be worth anything, or pastor hates me, and there are guys that this spins them out. On several occasions, I have seen this. We had early days of South Africa. We're planting churches. And you got to imagine that there had only been, I think, maybe 3 or 4 churches planted. It was quite new. And in a conference, there was a couple that, and again, this is in their mind. So they're looking at, you know, how things work. In their mind, they were better people than everybody else in the church. And they were going to get planted out. And again, this is an extreme. They came to conference, and unbeknownst to anybody, the wife had bought a new dress, because in their minds, we are getting planted out. This is it, man. They're just sitting there. They're waiting. And we have some announcements to make. And they're like, you know. I don't know. You know, honestly, this is, to me, is hilarious to think that we're just, like, without ever talking to you, we're just going to, like, you know. Brian and Roland, brother. I had no idea. So now think about this. That's how they thought. They're sitting there. And so what happened is that they announced another couple in their church, which was only right and fair because these people had issues. But nonetheless, is that when they announced, here's everybody else. The church is excited, man. They're clapping the person on the back. This is their first church planted out of the church. This couple went around to people, shook their hand, and just said, just so you know, we're leaving the church tonight. And they've never come back again.
Wow.
Because in other words, we have been rejected. Well, that's not rejection at all. And if they kept their heart right, probably they would have been the next one sent out. So they don't. So in their minds, this was the pastor and the pastor alone. He's the only person that's involved in this process. So in their mind, it was, he likes them, he must hate us, so we're not going to this church anymore. And so that's a very, very foolish. So in other words, they didn't process promotion well. And I want to tell you, God will, on many levels, he will cause others around you to be promoted and not you. And part of that is to watch how you process that. The scriptures that we read were, how did Jonathan handle David being promoted? Because that's a powerful test of character. Let's close. Processing promotion. So, the issue is God's plan. You have to believe that God is at work. That's the mistake of this couple. They flushed their destiny because they assumed that only people were involved. And so you have to understand and have confidence in the wisdom of God, the love of God. You have to believe that God loves you, has your future, your best interests at heart. The wisdom of God, he knows what is best for you and for the church. And so you have to understand that most decisions that are made they come out of prayer. A change is made because we've been praying about something for quite some time. I mean, that's just in a natural. But at any rate, you've got to believe that God works his will. So, if you're going to process promotion then, whether that's your own or somebody else's, you have to keep perspective. If you're going to be promoted, then that involves stretching. And that's the way it is. You are being enlarged. Promotion is not. It's not God telling you that you have arrived or you've made it. It rather is an opportunity for you to grow, and you have to understand that. So, simple perspective, not everyone is promoted at the same time. That'd be a funny conference, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, going into the cities of the earth, everybody, you're all going! Right? Well, then, you know, who's going to give? You know, who's going to pray? No, we're all going. That doesn't make sense. And not everybody can be, so that may be a timing, maybe a practical issue. You can only send out so many guys at a time. That might be spiritual. God might be developing things in you. So he promotes somebody else ahead of you in order to help you, give you more time or to expose your heart. And it might be that God has a particular opportunity for you, and you'll discover. And as you've heard me, I've joked in different times, is the longer I am saved and the longer I'm in ministry, the smarter God gets. I mean, he just gets smarter and smarter. And I look at how things work, I was like, wow, you know? And guys will marvel to me, can you believe it? I mean, because and when I came, it was because of that, it worked out exactly. And I often will smile and say, it's almost like God is in charge or something. God is like really, really smart. And I look at how incredibly, I preached on this in a few different ways in the last few weeks. It's just like, man, God, you know what you're doing. And if you can have that confidence, then you can process your own promotion, and you can process somebody else's promotion and have confidence that God. So, the final point is you have to be willing to serve God whether you're the king or not. Right? You may not be the king of a ministry. You may not be the king of a church. And you got to be willing to serve. That was the admirable thing about Jonathan, is Jonathan recognized the will of God, and he says, I just want to be a blessing. I just want to be a blessing. That's a powerful thing when you have men that have determined in life, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I be a blessing to the church? You know, and I marvel at a church this size at how just the amount of things that got done, you know. I had an unbelievably busy week in juggling crises, traveling in the first part of the week. Went to Phoenix for the rally. I got up in the morning and drove up to do a funeral. And the moment the funeral was finished, drove back down for the rally. And so, you know, when I arrive at the rally, you know, the Solano boys had set the whole funeral up equipment-wise. I didn't have to mess with that. I didn't have to, you know, check on whether anything was there. And I said to him, you know what a blessing that is to be a pastor and with all the other things that I have going. Meanwhile, on the phone to and fro, I was juggling international crises, and I didn't have to worry about whether there was going to be a microphone when I got there. You know, things got done because people want to be a blessing, and that's the key. A church really functions well by people who want to be a blessing. And you'll discover that God actually chooses men who want to be a blessing in some way or another. On the other hand, then you have men who, like the disciples, they want to make everything a competition. And that's a bummer. Then I got a referee. I got to get out my... No eye gouging, okay? It's all for Jesus, remember? Let him go. So, okay, let's open for questions or comments. Something you want to ask about promotion. You'll have this down then. Should be no problem.
Do you think that one of the biggest things that spins guys out is just the amount of time that they're waiting for something to happen? Or you think they get into a mode where it's like, you know, well, I haven't been promoted yet. I haven't been given a ministry yet. So I'm not going to do much until I get promoted. Or do you think that could be worked into it? Or
well, obviously, in some guys, you know, the whole point of discipleship is that you're supposed to be doing now what you do when you get out, and that is the mistake of guys who think that this is a divine moment. I hold out the golden scepter, you know, and I dub thee, you know, disciple of the realm, and therefore you become wonderful. So. And therefore they neglect, is you should be doing all that you can to be fruitful and be a blessing and be effective with people right now. So therefore it doesn't matter. You know, pioneering, pastoring is just probably a larger scale or more responsibility of what you're doing now. So when we send guys out, what is it that we want Ian and Brandon and Gary to be doing, our last three that we sent out domestically? What is it we want them to be doing? We want them to be winning souls one way or another. And that can't be only by events. Right? So you have events. Gary had a tremendous event yesterday. Brandon had a good event yesterday. That's great. But at the end of the day, you've got to be making contact, witnessing, getting people, you know, to make a connection with you so they can make a connection with Jesus. And if you're not doing that, then what happens if your event was a dud? Or the power goes out, or you hit a snowstorm, or whatever. So yes, absolutely, there are guys that they perceive it as being a moment in time. And if by chance that guy should ever get out, then he'll discover there, I can't drive through your neighborhood and, you know, just point to a few gangsters and say, listen, I have chosen thee to go to this guy's church. Right? That's something for you to do. And that'll happen. If it's not happening now, to some degree, then you probably are going to struggle. So, the two things that you guys need to be doing is personal evangelism and praying for people. Praying for the sick would be, you know, in some dimension of the Holy Ghost. Gifts of the Spirit be fine, but I think praying for the sick would be one element. Because that tells you, if you're getting people healed, there's something supernatural in you. If you're praying for people and they're getting saved, there's something supernatural. Of course, we understand there's levels. Or if you're not getting anybody saved, that's a problem. You're getting people saved and they're never coming to church, that's a problem long term. But there be something supernatural. The mistake is a guy, he's not working with anybody, he's not witnessing to anybody, he's not praying for anybody. But now we're going to dub them pastor, and he's now going to suddenly, hey, watch me pray for people, watch me. That's not going to happen. You are what you are. All you do is it just costs us a lot more money. And that's the truth.
How do we break out of that spirit of competition?
Well, I can, for me personally, how I dealt with it is is to, number one, the main thing that would help you is to speak well of men. Find something good they're doing and tell somebody else. That's a very healthy thing, because normally competition comes out of our mouth. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Right? So to me, when I was a young disciple, and my natural instinct was to attack guys or pull them down, and I desperately wanted people to say good things about me, is I helped it helped me when I first began saying good things about my fellow disciples. So it was like, for me, it was medicine to my soul. And I don't know what it did for the other guy, but it sure helped me. That's helpful. Then the other thing is to help. That's the thing that Jonathan did, is how can I help you enter your destiny? And that's another thing. And so helping him, you know, helping your fellow disciple with something that he may get the glory on. Those would be two very practical ways that will help in the competition. And the reverse then of those are, don't say bad things about your disciple, brothers, and don't refuse to help, or in extreme cases, sabotage. Oh, you have an entire outreach and no microphone. That's too bad. If I wouldn't do it. That's right. Yeah.
So the main thing is just to keep perspective then, right, on God.
Are you talking about in everything?
In a promotion, in whatever it is.
Sure.
To understand that God's in control.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where your confidence has to be, Robert.
So what about a person who gets promoted and they're having a hard time handling the promotion? They're getting stretched, and it's, you know, I got a promotion a while back, and it's, you know, I'm definitely in an area that I'm not comfortable with. I've actually thought several times of going back and, you know, to what I was doing before, and but yet at the same time I feel like, you know, I should be able to do this. I should be able to rise up to the challenge, but it's been very difficult for me. So, you know, how do you, you know, you're being stretched. How do you, you know, how do you deal with,
well,
that?
In one sense, obviously it is healthy. It's very healthy that you be stretched and that you're put in difficult circumstances. That makes you try harder and enlarges you as a human being. So I think the issue is number one, God is the God of enlargement. Surely He's able to help us. If that is as simple as on the job. You know, normally a promotion comes with a pay raise, which is a benefit. So there's a practical benefit. I think that God wants to benefit you, and so that is often true. It comes through promotion, but that also comes through more work. But, you know, the bottom line, that's that really what you're talking about. I want to be promoted. What you really are asking for is more work, right? You just get to do a whole lot more, and often you get to do a whole lot more without extra pay. And, you know, that's for, that's how it works in the kingdom of God anyway. In the natural realm, you often get paid better. So the bottom line is number one, accepting that. Self-awareness is what is it that keeps me from handling this promotion? What is it? Is it the fact that this is exposed, I am not organized? Or is this, you know, where do I need to work on this in order to get better at it? And then asking outside perspective. There may be people who see that. What do you, from your perspective, what am I doing wrong? Or how could I do this better? However you want to ask that. So that you can grow. There obviously are people that do come to the conclusion in life, you know, there are some people that just shouldn't be in charge. And they try being in charge and they work out, this is not for me. This is not what I can do in life. That is also okay. But, you know, we're in, obviously our gathering here is for discipleship purposes. If you want to be a disciple, then promotion is something you have to work through and work out. Right?
I marveled when Pastor Angel, he said, when he preached on Wednesday and Tuesday thing, he said we need to have David's heart. And I see David when he was able to kill Saul many times, but he recognized his position. before God and having a crazy, you know, how he was anointed king, but he recognized where he was.
Yep. Yeah, so that only comes by trust in God. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I preach in the rally. You've got to see God. The more you know God, the more you'll be able to handle life. Right? This guy's treated me badly, but I know who God is. This guy got promoted and I didn't, but I know who God is. God is the answer to everything. Right? This book is not about you. You will see yourself in here. Yes, it's like a mirror. But at the end of the day, it's not about you. And so the answer for life's problems is I see who God is. And that's one of the things in confidence. My future is secure in God. So, if my promotion is taking time in my eyes, that's okay. God's in charge. He knows what he's doing. Good. Any other questions? Probably none of you have ever had to deal with any of these issues. You've never had to deal with somebody else getting promoted and you thinking, how come not me? Owen? Yeah, because you think about it, we got ugly stuff in here, right? So let's get real here. Let's get honest. So, you know, we announce a guy to go to a new city, right? So I don't know. Let's pick one of the guys. Let's say Ian and Priscilla Klein. They go to Fountain, Colorado. We're pioneering a new church, and I'm sure that there would have been somewhere a disciple or two who was totally bummed out. They get to go. So now think about this. We got a new city. People are going to be witness to, but that's us. We got, oh, man. Well, you're bummed out that the kingdom of God got extended. That's I mean, there's wicked stuff in there. I've told the story before. When I was a very young disciple and I heard Pastor Mitchell saying good things about Tom Paine and his outreach, you know, 15 people got saved, and I'm totally vexed because he's saying good things about Tom. But when I went away, I said, Mitchell, you are sick. People got saved, and you're vexed. That's ugly. Say, God, you got to help. I got ugly in there, man. That's bad. That's a bad sin. And that was actually, that was a turning point. That really opened my eyes to where I was living in Australia at the time. This is, we were here for a visit. And I went home, and I said, I am going to say good things about my brothers. And it was hard. If a guy did an altar call and it was good, I'd tell somebody. I'd publicly say it. And it hurt me. But boy, was it good for me. And that's a healthy thing. Edgar.
I work in a field where I'm the only man that is an employee except a doctor. I'm a dental assistant. I work with all women. And I've been working at Kid Jam for 5 years, and sometimes there's been ladies that have been promoted, and I'm like, I want to be the best because I represent, you know, men everywhere. I was hired by a doctor who bought into the practice. He eventually ended up selling it back to the owner and founder, and who originally never really wanted to hire a male dental assistant, because when you bring a male into the field, it changes the dynamics of the operation. And it was really hard for me to succeed for the first year because the women didn't like it. But, you know, sometimes I talk to my wife about it, and she'd just be like, be the best where you are. Be the best with what you can do. And throughout these 5 years, I look back, and by staying humble and living the way God wants me to live, I've really been blessed. It's to the point now where I remember 2 years back, my employer now, which is the owner and founder, the man who didn't hire me, the man who you know, who opened the company. He said, you know, you really changed my mind on who you were, and you showed me that. I didn't know whether or not I was going to keep you when I took over the practice, but you convinced me, you know, you were very, very, you're very good at what you do. And now it's opened up opportunities for me to be honest and to work hard before I am where I am, to where my employer blesses me with other jobs, not just in the clinic, but even in his home. And I remember one time I was in a shop because he allowed me to do maintenance at his house, and I broke a drill bit. And he's got like thousands of tools. And I was like, man, I could just share a top of it. And not say anything or say, hey, I broke this drill bit. Maybe you can take it out of my pay. And I decided, like, what's right? What's the right thing to do? And I went to my boss and I said, hey, Dr. Higgins, I accidentally broke this drill bit. You can take it out of my pay if you want. It was an accident. And he said, you know what? I really appreciate what you did by telling me. I mean, I got hundreds of drill bits. You told me, and I trust you. I trust you in my home, and I trust you. I trust you here, and I appreciate everything you do. And I was like, wow. So I was just, be encouraged, guys. If you all work with me.
Why don't you ask him, say the boss said, can we have like an arm wrestling competition? Of course, there's some chicks you get whipped, man. You can, wouldn't it? It works out. It works out. Very good. Very good, guys. Okay.